You're listening to American Edition on The Voice of Russia. I'm Jessica Jordan. In California, a project President Obama promised would transform U.S. transportation may never be completed. The state's futuristic high-speed rail network faces eroding political and public support, increasing cost estimates, and criticism from some groups who call the project a train to nowhere. But supporters say a national high-speed rail network would not only support tens of thousands of construction and manufacturing jobs, but it would save travelers from being stuck in traffic for hours. Joining us now on the line to talk more about this is Andy Koons. He's president and CEO of the U.S. High-Speed Rail Association. Also on the line with us, David Schonbrunn. He's president of Transportation Solutions Defense and Education Fund. Welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Andy, I want to start with you. Tell us about the status of the high-speed California rail network.
Well, the project is months away from going out to bid for its first phase, which is about 100-and-something-mile segment in the Central Valley, and that's considered to be the backbone of the San Fran to LA. And so then once the center backbone is built, then we'll have to build a northern connection piece up into San Jose and San Francisco, and then the southern connection piece from the southern end of that to Los Angeles. So then that would be, once completed, that would be one of the busiest rail lines in the country.
I'd like to offer a different appraisal of where the project is right now.
That's David Schonbrunn. Go ahead.
It's clear to me that the project is close to cratering, that we have this past week the resignation of the executive director, the assistant executive director, the board chairman, a board member, and their press secretary. This is the rats leaving the sinking ship. And quite frankly, there's literally nobody left to even present this project to the legislature, who has to approve funding before there can be any construction. And in my view, that funding is looking ever more unlikely.
Andy Koons, why is that?
Well, the project has been under attack in a big way ever since it was launched, even before the public vote. And if you really peel back the mask of the attackers, which a lot of it's coming from the extremist think tanks, what you find is that there's an oil industry organized campaign to kill high-speed rail in America. They've killed it in Florida, and then they quickly set their sights on California. So it is true, there's a lot of negativity now, and a lot of, as the gentleman just mentioned, some of the leaders have resigned last week. However, the governor is still committed to it and is replacing these people with more of his own people so that he can keep the project moving forward. It's certainly not going to be an easy one. There is a lot of problems with it. However, we feel that it is one of the most important systems and does need to get underway and get built.
My organization is environmentally based. We are environmentalists, and we actually want to see high-speed rail, but we're convinced that ever since the High-Speed Rail Authority took over from its predecessor body, they have consistently screwed up every decision they've made and have guaranteed a non-viable project. So,
what do you mean by that? As I was getting to that point of this 100-mile segment, that's been a criticism, and that's why critics have called this project a train to nowhere. Is that something that you're also seeing as a problem, the fact that a segment was built first in the middle instead of at one end or the other?
We argue that every route selection that this organization has made has been an inferior route, and one that makes the project longer, far more expensive, and far less likely to succeed.
Well, can you be specific? Because I know I've read in several articles that the project has been praised for its engineering. So can you be specific in what you mean by those claims?
Yeah, it's been praised. You know, when you look into these praises, you usually find that it's the engineering contractors themselves that are praising themselves. This literally happened in relation to the ridership issue, which was one of the issues that we litigated. We were able to succeed in having the court throw out the first environmental impact report for the San Francisco Bay Area to Central Valley portion of the project, and then the revised environmental impact report was also thrown out by the court as a result of our challenge. So every step of the way, they have not been competent.
So you're saying there's an environmental impact, but there is the argument there, and I'll ask you to weigh in on this, Andy Koons, that it could spare the environment millions of tons of carbon emissions. Andy?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, this is the greenest project probably brewing in the country to reduce our oil consumption, reduce our carbon output, get people moving efficiently and quickly and not being sitting in, you know, in traffic or on runways being delayed and polluting. So there's no question it's a green project, and probably the only way California is going to move into the future and meet climate change goals and carbon reduction goals.
David Schonbrunn, what's your response to that, and what are your environmental concerns there?
I watched the House Transportation Committee hearing on California high-speed rail, and it was fascinating to see that the Democrats were consistently taking the point that this is important for reducing emissions, for taking cars off the highways, and for being a much better way of directing future infrastructure monies. The project is way too long. It requires speeds that are way too high in terms of what will be energy consumption and possibly the generation of excess greenhouse gases rather than the reduction in emissions. And this is caused by bad route decisions that force the train to be driven at higher speeds. We're very concerned that the design that has been central to what's going on would put trains at 220 miles an hour through urban centers, including Fresno and other cities in the Central Valley. And this would be a disaster in terms of community impacts.
Andy Koons, I want to talk to you about that, about the route of the high-speed rail train. What stops would it make? What cities would it stop in? What would the route be like? And also, can you address this 220 miles per hour, the speed at which David Schonbrunn is saying that it would move at through some of these towns and cities?
Well, I mean, this is standard around the world. All the true high-speed rail systems in the world travel at approximately 186 miles per hour up to some of the newer speeds. On the newer lines, are up to 220 miles an hour. These are proven systems. They have decades. Japan has been in operation for over 45 years. They are very energy efficient, sometimes up to 10 times more energy efficient than airplanes in moving people. They don't get stuck in delays. They don't suffer from congestion. So therefore, they're far more energy efficient in terms of delivering people from point A to point B quickly and on time without energy wasted sitting going nowhere like planes do on the runways or cars do on the highways.
And it is a high-speed rail, but are there protections there? Are there any barriers from the train so that people can't walk onto those tracks, say?
Well, they're all separated. The issue that a lot of the people have with those kind of speeds is noise. It's not safety because these are separate dedicated lines. That's the way they're built all over the world. They have fences and barriers, and there's no grade crossing, so they're not mixing with cars on intersections and things like that. So the issue of that speed when you get near cities is really the noise. And in many cases, for example, I was just in Spain. They put the rail line in a tunnel when it gets to the big cities. In Madrid, for example, they're building their third tunnel right now so that the trains can travel right into the stations in the downtowns where they need to be, where all the people are, without having a noise or a physical impact on the cities and the buildings and in the immediate downtown area. So I think some of the criticism of this line is legit in terms of perhaps more of the miles of it should be in tunnels, especially when it gets into the urban areas. So then it's much less disturbance to the residents and the buildings nearby.
Well, I do want to get to Spain's public rail system, but David Schonbrunn wanted to see if you wanted to weigh in there. Is sound an issue?
It's absolutely an issue, and if you listened carefully to what my opponent said, he basically agreed with me. The issue about the faulty routing designs is that the Central Valley is going to receive only a portion of the trips that are made north to south. The rest will be express, and the problem with the route as it's currently designed is that those express trains would roar through the center of these cities. This is just simply not acceptable, and it's not consistent with high-speed rail practice the world around.
Andy Kunz, wanted to get to also comparing this California rail system to what Spain has, but even that system, as successful as it has been, has had to cut service between some smaller cities because too few people actually ride the trains. I'm wondering, what is the cost effectiveness of this project? Will ridership?
I actually haven't heard them cutting anything. In fact, if I was just there in Spain a few months ago, in Madrid, the Atocha station, which is the big main high-speed station, they've done a fourth addition to the station because there's such high ridership. And several of the trains we tried to get on to go to Barcelona were all sold out.
This is from Bakersfield.com, the article where I read that. It said that while it is growing in some areas, some of the stops in smaller towns had to be cut. What do you say is the most successful, or what do you say is even the completion date for the California Rail Project? Do we have that in mind yet? I know it got pushed back a couple times.
Well, and part of that is the reason it got pushed back and the reason the new price estimates are higher is because federal funding is wavering and not a sure thing at this time. So that what they did with this new business plan was looked at the worst case scenario of if the funding trickles in, how many more years will it take to build this and how much more will it cost? So really what that the message that that tells us is that we need to get moving faster and put more money into it to do it as more economical as possible.
I'd like to respond to that. The worst case scenario for this project is precisely why we are so incredibly activated against the current proposal, because the failure of the High Speed Rail Authority to enlist any private capital whatsoever means that when they complete, if they were to get funds to complete this segment in the Central Valley, there's no more money. They don't have even hopes of getting federal funds given the current political realities of Washington. And so this whole project is a non-starter. It is dead in the water as we look at it. We have argued consistently for years now that this project needs to have private capital in at the very beginning instead of having the state take all the risk. We have heard presentations from confidential presentations from businesses who are willing to undertake this project if the High Speed Rail Authority were willing to let business design where the tracks go and what the fares would be. And what we have heard is that the authority has insisted on holding on to all the power for reasons that we are very suspicious. It looks like they want to control contracts, and that's always a very dubious thing in public government. But meanwhile, we're convinced that in the absence of private capital driving this project, that there is no project, and that all that will occur is the construction of entirely useless track in the Central Valley that can't be used for any revenue-generating purpose.
Well, we're almost out of time, but Andy Kunz, I wanted to give you a chance to respond to that. In addition, I also wanted to ask you about Obama's goal. He set a goal of providing 80% of Americans access to high-speed rail within 25 years. Is that an attainable goal?
Well, absolutely it's an attainable goal. I mean, we built the entire interstate highway system in about 30 or 40 years. And, you know, and to address what you just said about no money out there, we've been in touch with a number of private capital groups who said they're very interested in this project. And we're right now in the process of getting a lot of them to mobilize and to show their support. We've had, for example, the Carlyle Group, one of the largest financiers in the world and has financed other high-speed rail projects in other countries. They're very interested in this project. We've got investors from five different countries that are very interested in this project. They're kind of waiting to get this first phase underway, and then they're all going to step in. So what we're doing right now is encouraging them to step in now to show the support, to show that there is a future for this project. Because, yeah, you do need to have some funding laid out for this project. Mm-hmm. However, I would like to point out one congressman said on September 10th, there was no money in the federal budget for a war, but we suddenly found the money when we felt that it was an important enough project to take on, and we got the money and did it. So I think this is going to be the same thing. We're going to realize how important this is in terms of our energy security, national security, our mobility, and so it will be it will become a priority project of the country.
We appreciate both of you joining us. That is Andy Kuntz. He's president and CEO of the U.S. High-Speed Rail Association. Also on the line with us, David Schonbrunn. He's president of Transportation Solutions Defense and Education Fund. Thanks so much to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.